Now, also, in your declaration of interests when you were a councillor, you declared one of your interests is Freemasonry. And I noticed when you... It was about 2006. I noticed when you did it, you underlined Freemasonry is not a secret society. Many people think it is, though.
Well, I'm glad you've looked at it, because I'm glad people notice these things. I was happy, obviously, to declare my membership of Freemasonry. I've been a Freemason since about 2003. Not very active, probably since I became a councillor, because of, you know, evening meetings and life generally getting very busy on the political front. But I was more than happy to declare my membership. It isn't a secret society in its sense that people know of its existence. Freemasonry, I understand, again, going back, what attracted me into it was obviously, again, my fascination with history, with the fact that, you know, I thought that I may find comradeship, the good works it does for charitable works, and interesting, actually. So I didn't see... I was proud to actually say, you know, I was a Freemason, but it isn't a secret society. And in fact, my understanding is before the war, it was much more open in a sense that there were parades, lodge doors were open more than they were. But because of the fear of fascism, what happened in other countries, you know, Mussolini and Hitler trashing Freemason halls and sending Freemasons to the concentration camp, it went quiet and a bit more behind closed doors. But I think Freemasons generally for many years have realised now if they are going to survive, society is changing and they need to be more open, transparent, and they are. I mean, I'd be more than happy to arrange for you to go and visit Freemasons Hall in Bristol or one of the Freemasons Halls in South Gloucestershire, and you'll see, you know, it's a positive organisation which does a lot of good work for local charities.
I'll tell you one thing I might ask you is for the book, the little book for the Bristol Masonic book, which has got actually the names of who it is, because that's why people, I think, mostly question Freemasonry, because they don't know who the Masons are.
There are lots of organisations which don't publicise their membership, and that we can have a debate about, you know, how much that should be transparent. But if you want, I'll send you a copy.
Lovely. Okay. Before we totally get off the subject, yeah. The other thing is that when you are a Freemason, you do swear oaths, and there are people, a lot of people out there, including myself, who would question whether you can actually serve the public when you've also sworn an oath to serve your brother Masons.
However, you're interviewed before you go down the road of being proposed and seconded and joining that particular club, and it's made quite clear that, you know, you've got to want to join for positive reasons to help, you know, your fellow citizen and get involved in the public works, and you'd be very naive if you thought there was going to be any particular advantage or interest in joining a Masonic lodge. And, you know, a part of the ceremony and the ritual, which is based on, you know, medieval stonemasonry and the great traditions, you know, it's made quite clear all the way through that, you know, this isn't about, you know, your service as a private citizen, your duty to your family, for your job, your country. You know, it's about the traditions of, you know, going back through many years through Freemasonry. It's interesting. It's like a play. You know, there's nothing remotely sinister about it. And with the internet, you can find out probably more about Freemasonry than the average Freemason would ever learn in his lifetime.
Okay. Now on to Phil.
So I'll send you the book and I'll arrange a visit.
Thank you, Jack.